The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Dynatrace. Explore career opportunities at Dynatrace, a leading software observability and security company where your passion thrives, innovation leads, and well-being matters. Visit careers.dynatrace.com. LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Roundtable Talk. I am DC Marshall, CEO and founder of Diverse and Engage. I am a DEI thought leader, a LinkedIn top voice, and I am here with my co-host, Mita. Hey there, Mita.
Hey there, Dee. I'm Mita Malik. I'm a LinkedIn top voice, a business leader, a mom, and now an author. My book, Reimagine Inclusion, Debunking 13 Myths to Transform Your Workplace, is available on Amazon to pre-order right now.
And if you've been following the show, you know, Mita and I, we started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces from my perspective as a Black woman and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman. At our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out of all of the stories. And then we share tips that you need, not on how to survive, but how do you thrive in organizations wherever you are. All right. So Mita, what are we talking about today, my friend?
Dee, I want to get your insight and advice on this topic. Why do we make exceptions for some people? Why do we make exceptions for some people, particularly in our workplaces? Ooh, Dee, I see the wheels turning in your head. So we're going to spill the tea. Of course, we have some good stories to share. We'll leave some tips for you at the end.
I had a conversation yesterday with a client. So I'll wait for you to tell your story and I will share this conversation I had.
All right, Dee, we'll get your cup of tea. Buckle up. So this is a story from the vault. This is an old story. I was thinking about it the other night. I was telling our super producer, Warren, I was like, oh, I couldn't sleep the other night. And I was like thinking about this story. And I was like, I want to share it with Dee on the podcast. Right. I know. I couldn't sleep at night. And I'm like, oh. So back in the day when I was a marketer, one of my first assignments, when you're managing large projects, you need a lot of sign off, right? So let's say I'm launching a lipstick line and it's in the final stages. I got to put it in a system. I need Dee and Carol and Laquanda and Jill and Lan and Christy and all these people to sign off, right? That's how big companies work, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there was this woman, her name was Sally. Now listen, I've never worked with a Sally. I've changed the name. I've really thought about this. I've never worked with a Sally. So please don't come back and say, no, I've never worked with a Sally. So Sally had worked at the company for a while, and I was told that Sally didn't like to use the system where the approvals happened. Sally didn't respond to email or Slack or text, but you could try to call Sally. Maybe she'll pick up. So what would happen is, for this lipstick project, I had everybody sign off. Dee, Laquanda, Carol, Jill, Lan, Christy, everybody signed off except for Sally. And the project will not hit go until Sally in compliance signs off. Somebody's like, give Sally a call. Try to call Sally. Sally doesn't pick up. Her voicemail's full. Sally usually comes in at 8 a.m. and she gets a coffee in the cafeteria. Go find Sally. 8 a.m., cafeteria, no Sally. You should stop by Sally's office. I'm like, okay. Stop by Sally's office. I'm like a new associate brand manager. Okay, let me tell you, in this large corporation, it's like my desk was in New Jersey. Her desk is in Oklahoma. I'm like going through the bowels of this. I'm like, where do I find Sally? Go to Sally's desk. Oh, Sally's out sick today. Okay. Then the best part of the story is Sally takes a smoke break, but smoking is not allowed at work. So you have to drive off campus. But Sally drives off campus at 1 o'clock between 1 and 1:30. So you can find her around the... So what did Mita do? Mita got in her car, couldn't find Sally. And my coworker said, you took a left, not a right. When you leave the campus, Sally takes a right. Okay. The story here that I want to unpack is, why did everybody at this company make all these exceptions for Sally. Now, I am going to say this is the brown table talk. And yes, we do talk about race. Sally was a white woman. Sally had been at the company for quite a bit of time. But everybody protected Sally. And here's the thing, Dee. In this company, if Sally didn't hit the go button, your project wouldn't launch on time. But she was an individual contributor. And you know what? There's a Sally in every single organization today. I don't care where you work. So there's a Sally there. But my question, Dee, is why do we protect? I go back to this story and I'm like, I tried to follow this woman on her smoke break to get her to pretty please. Oh, because Sally liked printouts. So every time I'd bring the printout, hoping I'd find Sally so she could sign on the dotted line for my lipstick project.
This is hilarious. I'm just floored that you, the smoke break from 1 to 1:30 as she drives off campus and everybody knows it.
Yeah, because the campus wouldn't allow smoking. It was like a non-smoking campus. But she and people. But here's the thing, Dee, I wasn't the only one. I know there were other people who were junior at my level who were also trying to get Sally's attention. So they would do all kinds of things, right, to try to get her to sign off on their project.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, so it's funny, not funny, okay? It's funny, not funny that one person holds so much power. But a million things popped into my head.
I knew it would. I knew it would.
You know, immediately. You said the one and two. You said, I think number two, Sally had been there a long time. I'm going to skip over number one is the obvious, but number two.
No, it's not. Go back. It's not an obvious. Sorry.
I heard the story, Sally, you know, Sally is a white woman, identifies as a white woman. And then Sally had been there a long time. So number one, she's a white woman. Number two, she had been there a long time. So for somebody listening like, Dee, what does that have to do with anything? I'm just going to say if Sally had been a black woman, from my perspective, I'm not speaking for the entire all of everyone who identifies as black, but chances are if she had been a black woman with so much power and not available and stalling on major products, revenue generating projects, right? That would be unacceptable. It would also be unacceptable perhaps for a black woman, if that was me, to not follow a process and it be okay. So there's a process. So that's why I'm sharing. So number one, I believe white woman. Two, she had been there a long time. Number three, she has relationships. So she's relationship heavy in the company. Number four, she's covering for somebody else. Number five, she knows where the bodies are buried.
Oh! Number five. Drop the mic. Episode over. We got nothing else to say. Sally knew where the bodies were buried. I literally was like, and it wasn't just my project. Everybody that worked, like we all would run around in circles. I had a manila folder with my Sally printout. If I could catch her at any moment, anywhere. Sally, sign this. Sally, do you know that Sally liked M&Ms?
And why do we know this? Because people had to bribe Sally.
Yes.
So now there was, oh my goodness, that is hilarious. Extortion at the company over these M&Ms.
So we knew Sally liked not the knockoff Reese's Pieces M&Ms, not the peanut butter. She liked the peanut M&Ms, the yellow bag.
Oh,
so somebody,
and you better make sure there better not be any green in those yellow. It better be all yellow. You know what?
No, the bag was yellow. It was the 32 ounce from Costco.
And why do you know this, Mita? I'm sad. You went to Costco. You bought Sally some M&Ms.
No, I didn't. But my coworker did. No, I didn't. I tried to follow her on her smoke break. I own that part. Went the wrong way.
You are guilty of following her off campus.
Off campus, but I didn't go to Costco to buy her M&Ms. This person did.
Oh my goodness. I probably would have done that. I would have been annoyed and ticked at the same time. You know what? No. After the fact, my thank you would have been the M&Ms. But what we're not going to do here is I'm not bribing you to do your job. That's not going to happen. That's not a good look. And it's unacceptable for the leadership there, whoever was at the leader. But hey, here's another one. Number six, could it be that Sally, let me ask you the question, was she an older, mature woman or a younger woman? Because it sounds like if she was smoking, Sally is definitely a boomer. She's a traditionalist or a boomer?
I would say she's a boomer. I don't know exactly, but if you were asking me to guess, I would say yes.
So everybody, here's this another reason why. Sally probably was a single mom. and had a lot of kids and grandkids and needed the money. And so nobody ever wanted to fire Sally.
No, she did not. I'm gonna no, she didn't, because she had a picture of her family. Sorry, that part I did, but the boomer's right. The boomer's right.
Was she married, kids, and all that good stuff? Because that's where your money went from the last episode. The guy at the last job at the last episode who didn't want to pay you because you don't need it, he gave your money to Sally. Sally has your money. Okay. And then, okay, so then let's talk about this. But why do, so as if we are Sally's coworkers, why do we allow for that? Right. Or why? Right. That was the original question for the show today.
No, it was. And it's like, no, I guess, you know, what I wanted to say very clearly is, you said it, I'm going to start from my own experience, just like you did, Dee. Your experience as a Black woman, you're speaking for yourself. I'm going to speak for myself as a brown woman, as a South Asian woman. I don't, never have, never will have the privilege to be average at work. Don't have the privilege to be average at work. I don't have the privilege not to not do work. Because if I was Sally, I don't care if I smoked, if I didn't smoke, how long I had been there, would not have been tolerated more than a few weeks. I would be gone. And so that's when I talk about the different standards for different people, is that here is Sally and the entire company is over-rotating for her. She doesn't want to use the system. She's not available. She's available on her own time. We're following around the building, following her on her smoke break, people buying her M&Ms. I mean, there's a level of privilege there as well that not everybody's afforded. But I loved your like, knows where the bodies are buried. I mean, who knew? I was quite junior then, so I don't know the backstory. But she was an individual contributor. But everybody sort of warned me. It was the worst kept secret in the company. My manager at the time was like, yeah, Sally's never going to sign off in the system. She's going to be your biggest problem. She's going to be the reason why your product launches late. So just go find her. Go from New Jersey to Oklahoma. Travel around this monster of a campus trying to find this woman who's never at her desk.
Well, I will say in some instances, some environments don't have leaders who are willing to have difficult conversations.
That part,
don't have
yes.
leaders, you see, and don't have leaders or have leaders who don't like conflict or have leaders who don't want to be the bad guy, right? If it's not broken, or if it is broken, let's just leave it as long as like, right. So I think some of it could be that. Does that make sense? Right. In terms of leaders having to go through that, nobody wants to really pull the plug or address it or have the conversation, because easy in some people's mind, easy is leave it alone. Hard, challenging, difficult is address it. And so if it doesn't personally affect the others, and see, here's also what I think about Sally. Some of the others were able to eventually get Sally to do things. And so for them, it may not have been as significant of an issue for them to address, right? So I feel like there's some of that. But here's the story that comes up for me. And this is a conversation I had with a client, and it was, she has a bad actor on her team. And it's a similar thing. They're allowing the bad actor to stay on the team. And much like Sally, Sally doesn't sound like a bad actor. Sally sounds like she is a barrier to business. That's different, right? A barrier.
She's completely disengaged, but she's not, she's harmful in a different way.
Yeah, barrier, yes. Disengage, but also not resistant to our process, like of how we work and how we can work better and more efficiently, where this person, the bad actor, was more of a toxic to business, toxicity to business versus a barrier to business. And the manager was not willing to pull the plug for similar reasons that I think nobody wanted to pull the plug or at least address Sally. And that was, this is what the leader said to me. She said, well, everybody else likes her. She said that to me. So could it be that everybody likes Sally? That was number one. Number two, yeah, she's well connected. So number two was, Sally is well connected. So then if you were Sally's boss or colleague, you don't want to pull the plug on Sally because everybody likes Sally, or Sally is well connected. So if you're the one, then there's a risk factor for you. So this is a real conversation that I'm having with the client for the toxic person that she she needs to let her go. And another reason, let's talk about the being disengaged. The toxic employee was also disengaged. Like you mentioned, Sally was disengaged. This person was disengaged. They just said, I don't want to work here. I hate it here. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you're on my team and you say you hate it here, guess what? You're not on my team. Effective immediately. You hate. And what I said to my client is about, she's like, well, how would you manage this? I said, you know, you got to let her go and let the chips fall where they may. And so sometimes we're not willing. We don't have that kind of courage. The way our courage and our faith is set up, sometimes, yes, you operate strategically. You want to manage around people dynamics. I do believe that as a leader. So for everybody listening, yep, absolutely. You want to manage around these, you know, relationships. Yes, that's a way. That is a thing. And it is legit in a lot of instances. It says that you don't need to be hasty. You need to be strategic and deliberate. But as long as you being strategic and deliberate and not addressing an issue is not causing harm to other people. But in this instance, the person, the toxic person, was infecting the team. It was like cancer. It was spreading. So I think some of what I observed in this more recent situation is some of what we can learn about Sally. And for everybody listening, if you have, you know, a colleague or a coworker, like, why is it that that individual is allowed to allow. It's the allowing. And so does that make sense, though? Some of
it does make sense. Do?
Yeah.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life, a promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the LinkedIn Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to share this with the audience and with you and ask us to think about these two things. Let's go back to our friend Sally, our colleague who loves smoking and M&Ms. If all things are equal, two scenarios. Everything you heard about Sally, she's a white woman. Everything you heard about Sally, she's a black woman. Would we have allowed her to stay as long as she did? She was a black woman. That's my question to the audience. Even if she was well-connected, so all things are equal. So both scenarios equal, except in one case, Sally's a white woman. In another case, Sally's a black woman. That's what I want people to think about and unpack.
That's good.
We're going to go into the tips, but I think another episode we can continue this conversation is, and we've talked about this, Dee, and it's a famous quote, the worst behavior you allow to tolerate as a leader on your team will start to define your culture. The worst behavior, right? So your client who is tolerating the behavior for all the reasons that they have the excuses, they have the backing, all the things that you said, and I'm not arguing with any of it, but the longer they allow the person to stay, they are slowly destroying their culture.
Yes, and I'm going to give you one more. You're 100% right. Destroying the culture, and number two, they're destroying their character. Because Ooh. After a while, they're destroying the culture and the character. This is going to be you on your watch. This, it defines the kind of leader you are. And I'm going to tell you this. She mentioned that the toxic person had acted out in a meeting with other people. And so when people start to perform in other people, right, when you're in sort of a relationship, that's immediately you have to check that, because that has more to do with you and who you are. When you allow people to disrespect, devalue, disregard in private places, but more so, it matters for both private and public. But public, when you are the leader and your peers are in the room, you cannot allow that to happen. So I wanted to add that it's not just infecting the culture and defining the culture, right? Because it says this is permissible here, that we, no, the way that we work here is there's this one person, she's an individual contributor, and you really have to bend over backwards to like her and connect with her. You need to go to her. If she doesn't answer the phone, yep. That's allowed versus the leader there, Mita. Okay, rule of thumb here. Can we get agreement? Respond to your colleagues within 24 hours or same business day. Unless you're out of the office, respond. Baby, that's how you get this done. Do you understand? We set the culture here. Okay, everybody. This is what we're going to do. And so that's how leaders can level up. It's like, don't allow it. Set the culture. So then Sally doesn't go against what you're trying to create. Because a lot of times you have such great leaders, high-level leaders, and then you have a bad actor, or not a bad actor, but just a little bit of a sore in the organization, or let's say maybe a stop, maybe a bump, right? Because again, Sally not toxic like the other person, but Sally is a stall. Sally is stalling. Sally is permitting business from moving forward. She is slowing down the process. And to a certain extent, when you start messing with the money and messing with the profits, like, look, girl, you got to go. Let me tell you how I'm going to help Sally. Sally, I need you to go have this smoke break. Go on over here to that smoke break and don't come back from this smoke break, okay? Although I would have a conversation with Sally because she's worth saving if she's good, right? And I'm going to say this last thing. I'm going to say this last thing and then we're done. Somebody probably could have had a conversation with Sally. Sally would have straightened up. But Sally does what Sally does because she was allowed. Sally does because nobody checked Sally. But if Sally was D, me and my black body, somebody, let me tell you something. If my boss didn't check me, hands down, somebody is going to my boss to say, do you all know that D takes the smoke break every day at 1 to 1:30? And D, I've been trying to get her for 5 days to approve XYZ, and she is unresponsive. D has checked out. D is quiet quitting. Does anybody know where D is? She's a no-show. These are all of the things that I, as a Black woman, do you understand the difference? And so there you go. That's my lived experience. I'm a no-show. I'm not responding. So just think about that. And I think that's the place for observation, insight, evaluating, and allies to really show up right now. So there you go.
Oof. I love that. I want to ask you one more question before we go to tips. So for leaders listening, first of all, just hit rewind and go back to what Dee said, because it's so valuable. Her lived experience and what that looks like in the workplace and how that shows up for her. It's really important. When you were talking about the client who had somebody act out publicly, and you said as a leader, you would put a stop to that. Any advice for leaders? How do you do that? Like, interesting, because it takes a lot of courage. It takes conviction. It takes like the fact that actually ultimately you care about the team more than you care about someone not liking you. Because that's what people are afraid of. I give Dee this piece of feedback. She's not going to like me anymore. No, I want to be respected. Right? I want to be respected. So what happens if I like act out in a meeting?
Yeah.
What do you
do?
Well, you already said, hey, if you hate my team, you're not on it. Today's your last day.
Yeah. Today's your last day. So I would immediately ask for, can I just see you outside for a second? I wouldn't address it in the meeting or have the exchange, because I wouldn't pour fuel on the fire in the meeting where witnesses are. And that's just not the best. So I would immediately say, you know what, can we just step outside for a second? Or can you just give me a call for a second? Why? Because you need to nip it right then. But what you don't need to do is to unpack it in real time, because it's heated. And typically I would say, don't respond in real time. But when there is a public acting out as a leader, you got to nip it, because what you're doing is you are managing also perception in a room. And for women, for our women, you're managing perception here. Because if you have just allowed somebody to act out, what could potentially happen is an assessment and a judgment of your ability to lead and manage your people. I don't want to say keep your people in check. It's more like manage your people, right? And so that's why it was important for me to ask bad actor, I'm going to take a time out, everybody. Let me just see you outside. I'll see you outside. Do you understand?
I was going to say that. I love that idea. The 5 minute. Can we just, hey, we're going to adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes. Let's take a break.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing. You may not be able to process it all in that moment. It may be a cooling. And then let's just take, so once I have the one-on-one conversation, let's just, something just happened here that is unacceptable. So I'm going to ask just what's happening right now. And do you need a break? Because that's unacceptable. So my language and the language of, I think, leaders in one-on-one meetings, when something is a level 10, say, what's happening here? Are you okay? So there's one part checking and there's one part checking in on your people, making sure your people are okay. And then there's one part you have to, in full transparency, call things as they are and nip it immediately. And the nipping, it sounds like what just happened is unacceptable.
What just happened is unacceptable. I love that. Hope you're all taking notes.
Are you okay? Or what is happening with you? I know we got to go to tips. So in other instances, when it's like different from allyship, allyship is nipping often in real time, or like, you know what, hey, I want to hear what Dee or Mita has to say, or, oh, actually, no, that is not accurate. And but in this instance with toxic employee or low performing or somebody acting out, it's you have to nip it right away. In fact, I will say last thing. Let's say you didn't nip it or have the side conversation. Within 24 hours, have the conversation with the person. And then when you have the conversation with the person, check in and just say, what I heard was unacceptable. What I heard was unprofessional. What I heard was hurtful. What I heard was accurate. Like, those are what I heard. And so I want to get a better understanding. Now, here's how you manage all of the perception. The person, once they're in agreement, what you can share is, so now this has impacted the entire team and the person must apologize to all the people. How do I know this? I've had to have this with client recently. And so the person literally went to each person to apologize. Because what you're not going to do is contaminate, disrespect, disregard, disrespect in the presence of other people. So you will apologize to the leader and then you apologize to all of the other people. There you go.
Woo! All right, Dee. DC Marshall, she said it. Rewind and take some notes. All right, we're headed to tips, my friends. Okay, Dee, here we are now at the tips. I'm going to hand it over to you, friend, for one and two.
All right. So tip number one is always start with checking in. Checking in is tip number one. And so a lot of things can be solved with a conversation or just understanding and insight. And so that leads me to tip number two, which is giving feedback, provide feedback in terms of how a posture, position, or a way of behavior is impacting the entire team. So tip number two is giving the feedback. And then Mita, over to you for tip number three.
Number three, my friends, please, please, please don't let one person continue to infect and impact your revenue and ultimately your team morale. Don't let it happen on your watch. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you, our community. Thank you, the LinkedIn Podcast Network. We so appreciate you. If you enjoyed the conversation today, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Please go ahead and review and subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.